لرب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على رسوله الأمين وخاتم النبيين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وأتباعه أجمعين أما بعد جي باب ما جاء في ذكر خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم chapter about those narrations which mention the khatam and ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's been an earlier chapter which had a very similar title. The only difference was the word dhikr and mention wasn't in the title. Ma ja'a fi khatamin nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here, ma ja'a fi dhikri khatamin nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The muhaddithun say that this is to make a distinction, the one from the other. The previous chapter was about the mark and the flesh shaped like a small egg of a bird between the shoulder blades of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this chapter is about a mention of a physical ring which is worn on the hand. The word khatam can also be read as khatim. It's a rare form of the noun in Arabic, khatam. And there are just a handful of words, khatam, alam, taba', qalab, which are on this wazn and on this scale, this form of the word. And it's used to seal documents traditionally. A ring would also have an inscription which you would impress upon a letter as a stamp and make a mark, a seal, a formal seal. And so it's a tool for sealing a document and endorsing it. And khatim is also something which concludes and completes something. So these two words, when it comes to a ring, are used interchangeably. And it would often be a ring. A ring would be used for this purpose. So in this chapter, we learn and discuss the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ring, or rings, was the one or more, and what it was made of, and what it was for, and what the ruling is for us. And we can begin with this point. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to correspond with governors and kings and emperors in order to give them da'wah and to invite them to Islam, it was mentioned, as we'll see in this chapter, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they don't accept a document, a letter. They do not receive correspondence which is not formally sealed. And so specifically for this purpose, did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a ring made? And it had upon it inscribed Muhammadur Rasulullah. And again, the detail of that is in this chapter. We'll come to that detail. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we learn is that the purpose of the ring was not as a piece of jewelry for ornamentation. It wasn't an accessory that is worn to enhance your outfit. It was specifically for this purpose. So now, can it be concluded that you can also wear a ring which is not for this purpose. There are a variety of opinions. On the one hand, you have the opinion that it is sunnah to wear a ring. On the other hand, there is the opinion that it is mubah and permissible. Or number three, that it's makruh and undesirable. Now, those who say it's undesirable, and that's the fatwa of the Hanafi ulama, generally speaking, the work on fiqh, Ar-Raddul Mukhtar, and its commentary, Ibn Amidin, Allama Ibn Amidin al-Shami, he says that it's appropriate, and sunnah, it's appropriate for a sultan, for a governor, a hakim, a qadi, a person in such a position of authority, because he will need it for the purposes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used it for, to endorse, emboss a document, to stamp and seal a letter. In that situation, it's sunnah. Where such a need is not there, it's disrecommended. However, since many Sahaba and many of the Salaf Salihin have possessed and sometimes worn a ring, not specifically for this purpose, there is an allowance here. Then there's the discussion of what it should be made of, because of certain narrations of hadith. The Hanafi position is that it has to be made of gold for a man. You cannot wear a ring made of iron or steel or any other material. If you must wear a ring, or if you choose to wear a ring, if you take the position that you will wear a ring, then it should be made of silver. It can't be made of anything else. A common question that people ask these days, what about platinum? Platinum is not silver. So that's discluded as well. Yes? People ask about white gold as well. White gold is an alloy. It's a mixture of platinum and gold. And that's not permitted either. In fact, if there is, so the mixture is usually around half and half. If there is more than half gold, it's actually considered to be gold, even if the color is silvery. So for men, it has to be made of silver. G.
وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد وغير واحد عن عبد الله بن وهب عن يونس عن ابن شهاب عن أنس بن مالك.
It's narrated from سيدنا أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه, the خادم of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
قال.
He said.
كان خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ورق.
The ring of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was of ورق. It can also be read warq with a sukun on the ra for takhfif, for ease of pronunciation. The word is warq, and it means silver. And it means that the ring was made of silver. G. وَكَانَ فَصُّهُ حَبَشِيًا. And its stone, the ring stone, was حَبَشِي, Abyssinian. This has been explained in two ways. Either that it was from Habasha, Abyssinia, because Abyssinia was a place where precious gems were mined. They were taken out of the ground, and they were valued and they were used, and there was a whole variety of them. So it was actually acquired from that region. Or, number two, it was in the Abyssinian style. It was that type of ring. It was made just as Abyssinian rings. The stone was as the stones of Abyssinia would have been. Now, this raises another question. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ring have a stone in it? Some narrations suggest there's a discussion here amongst the muhaddithun, and there are various opinions. Because some of the ahadith suggest that the area where the ring stone is set was not separate. It was all the same. You will have seen rings which are made of just one metal. Yes? There's no separate ring stone. And in some situations, there's a ring stone, a gem, which is inset, and it's placed into the ring. So some ahadith suggest that the fas, the word is fas in Arabic, the ring stone, yes, was minhu, as you'll see later. It was from part the ring, meaning it was part of it. And like this one, this narration, there's a suggestion that it was external to it. And so as such, one opinion is that the Prophet ﷺ was in possession of different rings at different times. Indeed, as some narrations suggest, that some Sahaba actually gifted a ring of sorts to Rasulullah ﷺ on occasion. Then there's the discussion of how often the Prophet ﷺ would wear it. We learn from some narrations that on occasion the Prophet ﷺ was performing salah, and he was distracted by the ring and he removed it, and thereafter he wouldn't be wearing it. And there's a similar narration about a pattern in the clothing which distracted the Prophet ﷺ, and then he chose not to wear that clothing. There's a moral in this for us as well. These days the distraction is in the mobile phone and it's constant bleeping. Yes, ping, notifications, they should be switched off. It's makruh to intentionally allow your salah to be disrupted. Do you understand? Where we can avoid such a situation, this is one of the reasons why in the hadith it's disrecommended to perform salah when a person's holding back one of the akhbathain, the two impurities, the call for nature, number one, number two. And you're resisting, go, delay the salah, miss one rakah if you have to. And frankly, if you're imam, and the congregation's waiting, it's more important that you are comfortable, because the entire congregation is going to be affected, than it is to be there on time. Okay? But this is a separate discussion. In our subcontinental masajid, this point isn't appreciated. But it's not, it's the responsibility of the imam to ensure that he's comfortable. And there will be occasions when, because of this reason, the imam, it'll be his obligation, even if his congregation gives him daggers for the delay. If looks could kill. So the point is, we've wandered away from our theme here, and we were talking about distraction in salah. So for this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed the ring, and therefore, some of the muhaddithun say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may not have necessarily always worn it. He may have worn it from time to time. And Mu'ayqib is the Sahabi who would look after the ring, radiallahu anhu. And in the time of the Shaykhin as well, and the Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu as well, he would look after the ring. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have worn it from time to time, or specifically on the occasions when he needed to wear it for the purposes for which it had been made. G.
وبه قال حدثنا قتيبة قال حدثنا أبو عوانة عن أبي بشر عن نافع عن ابن عمر.
It's narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a ring made, he took on, meaning he had a ring made of fidda, which the word in the previous narration was wariq, and here it's fidda, both mean silver. Yes? G. Fakana yakhtimu bihi, he used to use it as a stamp. He used to seal correspondence with it. Wala yalbisuhu, he didn't wear it. So you see, some narrations are clear that he did wear it. It's a narration in Bukhari. The child is playing with the Prophet's hand and the ring on his hand while he's wearing it. And therefore, the jama' is that you bring the narrations together, sometimes he would wear it and sometimes he wouldn't. He wouldn't necessarily wear it all the time. In fact, he would remove it according to some of the narrations when fulfilling the call of nature, because it had Allah's name on it, it has had Allah's Rasul's name on it, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And so it's makruh, the ulama say, the muhaddithun say, the fuqaha say, to wear such a thing if it's got such an inscription on it. You don't, you know, you should remove it. And you can put it into your pocket and then go in, but you wouldn't wear it like that. Ji. Abu Isa is Imam Tirmidhi rahimullah. He says, Abu Bishr, this is a kunya title. So he says his actual name was, from the narrators,
ismuhu Ja'far ibn Abi Wahshiyah.
Ji, Ja'far.
به قال حدثنا محمد بن غيلان قال حدثنا حفظ بن عمر بن عبيد هو الطنافسي قال حدثنا زهير أبو خيثمة عن حميد عن أنس بن مالك.
It's narrated from سيدنا أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه. He said,
كان خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من فضة.
The ring of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was of silver. فَصُّهُ مِنْهُ. There's the narration. Its gemstone was of it, meaning there wasn't a separate gem stone. It was actually part of the silver formed in that fashion to look like the stone. Do we understand? Ji.
وَبِهِ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا إِسْحَاقُ بْنُ مَنْسُورٍ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا مُعَاذُ بْنُ حِشَامٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي أَبِي عَنْ قَتَادَةَ عَنْ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ.
It's narrated from Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik رضي الله تعالى عنه. He said,
لما أراد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يكتب إلى العجمي.
When رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم decided to write to the non-Arabs, it was said to him,
إن العجم لا يقبلون إلا كتابا عليه خاتم.
The non-Arabs don't accept a letter unless there's a seal upon it, a stamp.
فاصطنع خاتما.
So the Prophet made for himself a ring. And this doesn't mean literally. It's like you saying that Suleiman built for himself a house. Does this make sense? Somebody, you employ someone for that purpose. Ji. So the Prophet ﷺ had it made for himself. Ji. There. You see this theme. You could collect many arba'eens, many collections of 40 hadith, which have this theme. فَكَأَنِّي أَنْدُرُ إِلَى بَيَاضِي إِلَى بَيَاضِي بَيَاضِهِ فِي كَفِي. It's as though I'm looking at its gleam, its whiteness within his palm, in his palm. So the Sahaba were constantly remembering those scenes and sights, constantly. They would say things like, these eyes of mine have seen, these ears of mine have heard. كَأَنِّي أَنْدُرُ. It's as though I'm looking. And so you can see that the Sahaba lived in the memory of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the sunnah of the Sahaba, which we should adopt. We should also live in the memory of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this reflection, I mean, it's not difficult for us to try to imagine, obviously, the special attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's physical features. We went through some of those in the first chapter. Yes, chapters. They are sublime, and our minds may not reach anywhere near that beauty, but nevertheless, it's permissible and appropriate for us to think of the Prophet's palm, and of which we've read a description, by the way, in the earlier durus, and the ring, which would be on the right hand, by the way. Yes? Showing inside the palm. So the Sahabi is imagining this. And when he's relating it, he's inviting us to imagine it too. Yes? كَأَنِّي أَنْدُرُ إِلَىٰ بَيَاضِهِ فِي كَفِي. So the word bayad is used because silver is of a whitish hue. Yes? جي. جي. چلية.
قال حدثنا محمد بن عبد الله الأنصاري قال حدثني أبي عن تمامة عن أنس بن مالك.
It's narrated from سيدنا أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه.
قال.
He said.
كان نقش خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد سطر ورسول
سطر. Yeah, the نقش, the inscription of the seal, the ring of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was محمد سطر, one line, and رسول one line.
والله
and Allah one line. So it had three words, and they were in three lines. It wasn't in a straight line. It means one line, another line, and another line. Muhammad Rasulullah. Hafiz ibn Hajar and others have rejected the position, which I actually quoted a few days ago, because it's the position of some of the muhaddithun, that it was in reverse order, with Allah's name on top for respect, and then Rasul, and then Muhammad. Yes? There isn't any definitive, decisive proof of this, that it was necessarily written like this. It may well have been written the other way around. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Okay? Ji.
وبه قال حدثنا نصر بن علي الجهدمي أبو عمر قال حدثنا نوح بن قيس عن خالد بن قيس عن قتادة عن أنس بن
مالك. It's narrated from سيدنا قتادة, the Sahabi, the Tabi'i, from Anas bin Malik رضي الله عنه.
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كتب إلى كسرى.
That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wrote to Kisra. Kisra is the title, we mentioned this in earlier درس, last week or the week before, used for the Persian emperor of the time, of that era. Yes? G. And to Qaisar. And this is the title used for the emperor of Rome, of the Byzantines. G. And to Najashi. And Najashi is the title used for the governor of, and the emperor of that time, of the Abyssinians. G. It was said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't accept a letter. The word kitab is used often for a letter. Yes? Meaning something that's been written down and collected together. G. Except with a seal. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made saga, so when you mold something into shape, halqatun, the ring of which was silver. This particular narration, subtly, if you say the ring was silver, seems to suggest that the fas and the gemstone was of something else, possibly. Yes? Ji. And inscribed upon it was, carved upon it was, Muhammadun Rasulullah. It can be read like that. Muhammadun Rasulun Allah, or Muhammadun Rasulullah, as we Rasul, the word Rasul can also be read with the Tanween. Some of the Muhaddithun say, oh, Rasulullah. Ji. Now, there's actually quite a lot of detail here. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, this was after the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, Umratul, the year the Sahaba went to do Umrah, and they were not able to go into Mecca, and so the truce of Hudaybiyah was agreed. About this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote some of these letters, and Kisra, he was very disrespectful when he received the letter. And he tore it into pieces. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam learned of this, he invocated that Allah ta'ala tear his kingdom into pieces, which happened. He was murdered and assassinated by his very own son. And the whole thing collapsed very soon in the time of the Khulafa Rashidin, the Battle of Qadisiyah and so forth. This whole region was taken very soon. There was a very quick succession of various governors, and then the whole thing fell, the Persian Empire. And on the other hand, the Romans, the Byzantines, their governor, when he received the letter, he was traveling at the time, and he received it very respectfully. His nephew discouraged him to, says, look, he's not even calling you the titles that you normally used to. He's calling you Azim of Rum, meaning the senior. He's not calling you the king and so forth, all these, and he's putting his name before yours. But he had recognized that this man, this letter is from Allah's Rasul, it's a true letter. And he consulted, he spoke to the Pope at the time as well. And he told him that this is Allah's messenger, who's mentioned in previous scriptures. And so he goes back, his heart is inclined. He gathers everybody in his chamber, and he has the doors closed, and he speaks to he has an audience with his ministers and his whole governing body. And he addresses them and gives a speech, and he invites them to Islam. And what happens is there's an uproar, and people begin to run to and fro, and the doors are closed, and there's an outcry and noise. And he realizes that these people are not going to listen. Unfortunately, what does he do? He makes a decision then. Fearing for himself, he gains their attention and gives another speech and says, I was just testing you to see how firm you are on your faith. So they all fall prostrate before him. And he continues in this state. He doesn't embrace the faith of Islam. However, because of his respect, he actually anoints the letter and wraps it up in silk, and he has it, you know, stores it respectfully. And the consequence is that the Byzantines continued to reign for a long time, and the harm that came to Kisra didn't, and his people didn't come to Qaisar. This Nijashi is not the one that called Ashama, we mentioned in the previous, Negus, the Abyssinian leader and governor, the one that embraced Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his janazah in Medina Munawwara. This is a different Nijashi because it's a title to each of them. And there's no clear evidence of whether he embraced Islam or otherwise. We don't know.
وبه قال حدثنا إسحاق بن منصور قال حدثنا سعيد بن عامر والحجاج بن منهال عن حمام عن ابن جريج عن الزهري عن أنس بن مالك.
It's narrated from Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. See, the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the consequence. Anas bin Malik. All these personal details are coming from Anas, Aisha, Anas radiallahu anhum. Yes? Ji. To the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would enter into al-khala'a, the place for fulfilling the call of nature, naza'a khatamahu, he would remove his ring. The reason has been mentioned already. Ji.
وبه قال حدثنا إسحاق بن منصور قال حدثنا عبد الله بن نمير قال حدثنا عبيد الله بن منصور عن نافع عن ابن عمر.
It's narrated from نافع عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما. He said,
اتخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتما.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took a ring, had a ring made, took a ring of silver.
فكان في يده
من فضة.
من
ورقين فكان في يده. So then it was in his hand. This can mean in his hand, meaning it was in his ownership and remained therein, or it was physically worn by him. Yes. جي. ثم
كان في يد أبي بكر.
Then it was in the hand of Abu Bakr, meaning again he would wear it, or that he would keep it in his hand, and perhaps sometimes wear it for barakat, for blessings. G. And then in the hand of Umar, same thing again. Either on his hand physically, or that he would, it was in his possession and he would use it when necessary. And as I've mentioned, Mu'ayqib would keep this ring most of the time. He would look after it. Ji. Then it was in the hand of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Same meaning here. Ji. Until it fell into Bi'ri Aris. Munsarif, Ghar Munsarif can be read both ways. Into fi bi'ri arisa, fi bi'ri arisin, as you read. Yes? Into the well of Aris. This well is still there. You can visit it in Medina Munawwara. Ji. Its inscription was? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened is, in the time of Sayyidina Uthman was dictating, discussing some correspondence with Mu'ayqib. There's two types of narrations, that it was being worn at that time by Uthman or by Mu'ayqib. And from one or the other, it fell. And it fell into the actual well. And of course, this was a very shocking event for Sayyidina Uthman and for the Sahaba. And so the well was drained for days on end. One day, two, three. Perhaps it might come up in one of the buckets. It was impossible to find it. And the loss of the ring actually coincided with huge challenges which arose in the time of the Khilafah of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's Khilafah has two halves, two parts. Initially, there's a lot of stability, and then all of a sudden, there's an uprising, and there's a lot of strife. And eventually, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, his house is surrounded, and he is martyred in his own house after being kept under house arrest by rebels for many days. And then there still isn't ease and stability. It's a very difficult time in which Sayyidina Ali Karamallahu Wajhahu becomes the Khalifa. So that difficult time actually commenced with the loss of the ring. They both coincide together. There is a barakah in such things. Tuesday's dirs, actually, this was a couple of weeks ago, but then in the students' class, we were going over the final section of the second juz of in Surah Baqarah, in which Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, إِنَّ آيَاتَ مُلْكِي أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ التَّابُوتُ فِيهِ سَكِينَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَبَقِيَّةٌ مِّمَّا تَرَكَ آلُ مُوسَى وَآلُ هَارُونَ تَحْمِلُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. One of the signs of Talut being your appropriate leader appointed through the Nabi by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the angels will come to you with a tabut, a casket containing the remains of the family of Musa and the family of Harun, their possessions, which some of us didn't say included, for example, a section of the tablets which had the Torah which came down from the heavens and other blessed items. Yes? Baqiyya, keepsakes and remaining artifacts of blessing. Fihi sakinatum min rabbikum. Baqiyyatum mimma taraka alu Musa wa alu fihi sakinatum min rabbikum baqiyya. So the word sakina here, sukoon and tranquility. Now this sukoon and tranquility, nothing, sukoon, tranquility, barakah is not intrinsic to items, be it the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be it the Kaaba. The barakah is not intrinsic. The barakah comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We in any doubt that the barakah comes from Allah. If there's barakah in this majlis, it comes from Allah. So barakah is not intrinsic to anything else. And if you keep this single point in mind, then there's no sort of, shall we say, conflict. You don't feel conflicted, or else there's a whole, mashallah, people who in their perception of what it is to be a muwahid and to avoid shirk, they want to negate barakah, which is mansus also. It's established from the Quran and Sunnah that there is such a thing as barakah. There's barakah in food as well. So what is barakah? Barakah is, the literal meaning is kathra, abundance. And it's created, it's given by Allah. And if you keep this point in mind, then there's no element of shirk here whatsoever. Do we understand? It's a bit like saying a mu'jiza, and this is also a clear aqidah, is not from a Nabi. It manifests at the hands of a Nabi. It's given to a Nabi by Allah. It was not Isa that performed his miracles. It was not Musa that performed his miracles. It was not Ibrahim that cooled the fire. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are coming from Allah. So when you keep this in mind, it becomes very easy to understand. So the tribulations and tests which came after the loss of the ring was a source of barakah. Does this make sense? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to benefit from what we've learned. The next chapter in the next dars, inshallah. We've concluded the chapter, haven't we? Yeah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على النبي الكريم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد مبارك وسلم ألف ألف مرة بعدد كل ذرة كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خير من الأولى سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.